Good morning. Welcome to Life Creek. If you have your Bibles with you, and I do really want to encourage, we're going to have obviously you know, the Bible passage up in the transparency up here, but I do encourage if you have a Bible with you, like a personal Bible, bring it with you, and you could also follow along there, okay? If you could all rise for the reading of God's Word, comes to us in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to read two verses. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. This is God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" This is the word of the Lord. If you could repeat by saying, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right, let me pray one more time and ask for God's help. If you could join me. Father in heaven, as Brian has prayed, I pray that you would grow as we seek to grow in our relationship with you. Help us to know you better. You are like a diamond facets. There's so much about you. You are inexhaustive. So I pray that you would, in growing our relationship with you, teach us about you, your holiness, and our response to being holy people. Help us now. Help us be attentive to your word, listening to your word, and that you arise in us a holy passion and faith and grace, I pray, so that not individual but as a church, we might grow in our holiness because we see more of who you are, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Open your word. You know the mind of God. You're the very vocal cord of your word, the word of God. Help us. Illumine your word now. Do not leave us to ourselves, but I pray that you would come and shine a heavenly light into our minds and our hearts through your truth, I pray. All this, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. The title of the message is, as the text says, be holy as God is holy. And I do understand that it was talking to the Israelites, but it's also talking to Christians, talking to the church. Just as the Israelites, the context is, just as the Israelites were saved from Egypt, right? Out of Egypt. And you know why that was? Well, so that God's people might not serve be enslaved to Pharaoh and Egypt, but are freed from slavery so that they could serve God and be holy. It says that in Exodus chapter 19. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That's what God's people were saved from Egypt, to be a holy nation, a holy people. These are the words you shall speak to the people of Israel. Christians are also saved from sin, Egypt, so that they will be a holy people. 1 Peter chapter 1, but as he who called you, talking to the church, you, me, the church, the Christians, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So it's not just an Old Testament Israelite thing. It's for Christians to not only see God's holiness, but to be holy themselves. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Often people overlook this passage. Look what he says in Romans chapter 1. Let me turn there. I didn't have it in my text here. And I believe I mentioned this while ago, but I'm sure it wasn't a big point, so I'm sure you guys forgotten. But when Paul was writing to the Christians in Rome, look at what he says in verse 7. To all those in Rome who are loved by God, those are Christians, okay, and called to be saints. Christians, the word there, the Greek word is sanctification, sanctify. Christians are saints. Christians are holy ones. Christians are recognized and should be seen as holy people, saints, loved by God. Over the decades and centuries, the church as a whole has lowered the standards of what it means to be holy. Not just God lowering his standard of being what holy is, but lowering standards for Christians of what holy means. There are many reasons why the church over the decades and centuries have done this. Many reasons. Let me mention one. All good intention, evangelism. And let me try to make it simply. You know, some ways when we try to evangelize to the outside or the non-Christians, you know, they have some assumptions. I mean, some of them are false, but, you know, Christians generally are not cool, right? They're not hip, you know. And so there's a temptation to reach the non-Christians, and I felt this too, especially in college ministry. You know, an old guy, 43 years old, trying to reach the young generation. And you're trying to be cool, trying to be hip, to fit in. Because what you say, you want them to take it seriously. I remember one college student that I knew had just got converted, became a Christian, and had a genuine heart for the fraternities, you know. And he had no ill intention. He was genuine. He really had a heart, you know, for the frat boys, and I kind of lost in touch. And a couple years later, he got hold of me, and he confessed to me that he was doing pot with the rest of the people he was trying to reach out to. You know, the pressures. You know, maybe they thought that, look at this stuck-up Christian. He's not, you know, he's so pure. You know, maybe the temptation got too much. And he confessed me. He was just like one of them. You know, he had good intentions. For various reasons, we have lower, whether it's evangelism, trying to be cool to the world, acceptable to the world, right? We have lowered our standard. I remember when I was a young adult, club dancing in the church was kind of popular, you know. And, you know what club dancing is? Club music. You know, and I remember one young adult told me, "What's wrong with club dancing? You know, King David danced, right? He actually did. He was taking the Ark of the Covenant. He was dancing in front of everyone, dancing. Not like that, okay, but." I'm sure he had cooler moves than me, but he was dancing. So the sophomoric argument was, what's wrong with club dancing? David danced. Maybe Jesus danced too. What's wrong with dancing? I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't go clubbing. I don't do drugs. So often the church, or even individually, they have made their own standard of what holiness is. See? They don't check the Bible or God of what holy life looks like. They have made their own standard. You know, it's just a few things. They don't do it, so I'm all right. You know, I'm not perfect, of course. So to be holy is the standards that we created and not in line with what the Bible says, what holiness should be for us. So we pick and choose. Okay, we set our own standards of what holiness is. Actually, I confess, I've been to one time, the clubbing. There's nothing holy about club dancing. I've been to it. I got kind of coerced into it. My friend said, I like this girl. Can you please keep me accountable? And I was stupid enough to say, okay. I went there. Nothing holy about club dancing. Okay, trust me, club dancing is not just dancing. Okay, and you don't have to go club dancing to find out what I just said is true. It is so much more. You have to be seriously crazy to say, to go club dancing, oh, this is holy. King David did this. I mean, that's how people think these days. These aren't outside people. These are people who come to church that think that way. The standard of holiness has just gone sour over the decades and centuries in the church. All right. So, holiness has become a catch-all word for the idea of being pure or being freed from sin. Holiness is purity and no sin. And that's an okay definition, but that's not really getting to what holiness really is. That right there, purity and free from sin, is another word in the Bible called righteousness. There is a difference between holiness and righteousness. Righteousness, let me be a little bit technical here, get your thinking cap on. Righteousness is a subset of holiness. Holiness includes righteousness, but is something higher. You could say righteousness is a foundation to something more about God that said by the word, God is holy. It is bigger than righteousness. Holiness goes further than just saying God is pure and God is free from sin. Holiness, or God is holy, requires a step of righteousness. It stands on righteousness as a foundation, but it reaches for something greater about God and about you. Righteousness is to stand before God acceptable. He will never reject you or forsake you. He always accepts you. Always. If you turn to Him. If you turn to Him, He will always accept you, no matter what kind of sin you have done. I mean, just read the Bible. You see what kind of sins that the Israelites done to God? It's amazing. And yet, when they turned, repented, God had what? He always accepted them. Always. Forgetting their sin. That's our God. Amazing God. So, holiness and righteousness is the same thing. Righteousness is purity, free from sin. And holiness is something different. Let me use something as an example here. Let's say this is a wood piece, okay? Like a huge plank, let's say that, okay? I couldn't, like, carry. So I'm building a bookshelf, okay? And when you build, when you design your bookshelf and design the length of the, you know, the wood pieces, one of the questions you ask is the wood piece the right length, right? Right? And so you would take a ruler or a measuring tape and you will measure, is that the right length that I need? Okay, it's too short, too long. Okay. Well, to ask the wood piece is the right length is, of course, is an obvious question, okay? How big you want your bookcase. But to say, is the measuring tape the right length? Okay. What? Of course is the right length. I'm using this as a standard to measure this. Okay. So to say God is righteous, God is pure, God is free from sins, from sin, of course he is righteous. That's the obvious. It's like saying water is wet. Of course water is wet. So when you say God is holy, it's not just saying God is pure. Okay? God is free from sin. It's saying something more about God that you and I need to know in our relationship with God. To ask God is righteous is saying the obvious. But to say, is God holy, is very illuminating, an interesting question. It goes into the, it goes further into the very heart and the nature of the core being of God, where righteousness really doesn't, as holy. And let me just give it to you. To say God is holy is to say God is the only thing in this life to live for. Say that one more time. To say God is holy is to say God is the only thing there to live for. If we've known anything goodness in this world, even though fallen, it all came from the hand of God, who alone is pure goodness, wisdom, power, majesty, judgment, beauty, all these things and more are only truly understood by seeing them in God. Let me say it one more time. Wisdom, power, majesty, judgment, and beauty, all these things are more and only truly understood by seeing them in God. All the other things that claim these names are poor copies compared to God, who is the original origin of them all. And let me give you an example of the source and origin of those power, wisdom, majesty, beauty is all first truly seen in God, is how he makes some people, especially athletes. Now, I don't know if you're a sports fan. I'm a sports fan. I like all sports. Okay. Right now, it's French Open's going on. Okay. And you know, all the greats of in tennis world or basketball world, LeBron James. Oh my, look at the speed of this giant. Okay. I mean, have you seen the NBA players or football players, like in person, in the airport? They're like, they're not like real human beings. Like they're giants. It's incredible. They're not, you know, and these people who are like 6, almost 7 feet tall, and their speed, how big they are, and their speed is incredible. Their speed and power is, and we get mesmerized by these athletes. And that is a small picture of who God is. Those are poor picture of who God is. And the reason we get so mesmerized by these professional athletes, or, you know, maybe even like, you know, singers or movie stars. You know, when you compare them to you, you should feel inferior, you know? Like, if you compare me to LeBron James and my basketball skills, like, I'm like nothing compared to him, you know? But it doesn't make us feel inferior. We actually honor them. We put them on a pedestal, don't we? Right? We do that. Because you are made that way. You are made to see greatness. You're made to see God, who is great. We're made to put that greatness up in a pedestal. LeBron, all the people that we honor is a poor comparison to God, who is the origin of power, beauty, speed, etc. The primary thing that strikes about us about God when we see him is that God alone is glorious. He is self-existent. He is the origin of all things, the source of all things, the source of all things. Everything else is created by him or derived from him, depends on him. He alone is God. There is no other God besides him, nor can there be. Look at what the Old Testament authors say about God. You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Beside him there is no other. Or acknowledge and take heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and all earth below. There is no other. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. To say God is holy means God is everything. He is the source of all things. Everything comes from him. It is from him, to him, through him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If God is holy in that way, and my description of what the Bible says is pretty poor, you know, it will take forever, infinite days to scratch God is holy. So if I am holy, okay, try to do my best in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Be holy as I am holy. Now, what does that mean then? If God is the greatest being, the most powerful being in the universe, unimaginable, how should his people react to him? Right? That's what holy is. It is 100% all of your life devotion to him. That's what holy means for you and for me. He is the most important thing in your life, believe it or not. Every day you wake up, every hour, he alone must have my and your devotion, affection, love. Didn't Jesus say that to us? Love the Lord your God with what? 50%? 10%? 30%? Or sometimes not even think about him? You know, I could go a day or two kind of thinking about God for a little bit, you know? And the whole day, not think about God, let alone give devotion to God. we have lowered our standard of what holiness means for us. Because we have lowered what God is like in his holiness. And now I've made you feel uncomfortable. Holiness for you is 100% devotion. Okay? 100%. It's the most important thing in your life. Not games, not sports, not entertainment. I mean, those are not sinning in itself or unholy. But at the end of the day, God is the most important thing in your life. Whether you believe that or not, he is. So you being holy is not just like, oh, of course, we should give 100% devotion to God, okay? And I know what you're thinking, okay? I could feel it even now. That's impossible. Yeah, Pastor Tim, he's all desirable. He's a source of all good things. He's a source of power, wisdom, beauty. I mean, you think the models are beautiful? It doesn't even compare. Actually, no, what people say about the models, that they're not beautiful, actually. Maybe on the outside. That's not true beauty. Only God defines what beauty is. He truly understands what beauty is, especially you women and men. I could go on and on about that, about, you know, how this world and how women define beauty. The bag you might have is beauty, the hair, the face, the body. How you become 100% devoted to God, he is the most important thing, not just theologically, but practically. He's the most important thing in your life. You think about God all the time. It's how important he is. Isn't that right? That's not what loving God is. I love you, but I hardly think about you. I think about other things in my life because that's what's most important. You can't possibly make me feel bad about tell me to be holy, 100% devotion to God. That's impossible. Don't tell me that. Well, the answer is not you. Because if you feel like you have to be holy 100%, okay, yeah, you will be depressed. I'll be depressed. I could try. That's how, why our holiness is so low. We have lowered God's holiness, and then we have lowered what it means for us to be holy. Not 100%, not how God thinks, how we should be. If the answer is your effort to be holy, your standard, you will never be holy. You'll never get there. Man is not able to reach God's standard for you and me. We don't have the wisdom and the power or the knowledge to do it. Only God can. Only Jesus can. And that's the application. Now, what does that mean? I'm sure you have heard that all the time. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the answer for 100% devotion to God, not 90%. Don't be satisfied with 90%. Don't say things like, oh, God or Pastor Tim, you don't expect me to be 100%, do you? Yes, I do. God expects you to be. Don't say, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I can't. Well, I know you can't. The Bible is clear. But Jesus can. That's why he was sent. See? He was sent not just to forgive you of your sin, is to make you a holy person, 100% devotion to God, not forcefully, not dragging your feet. You want to. I mean, don't you want to? If the Bible is correct about who God is, he's a source of all beauty, all power, all wisdom. There's nothing like God. There's no other God like him or man like him. Jesus alone knows what it means to be holy as a man. Remember, before God created you and me, I'm running out of time, I know, 3 minutes, there was the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son, Jesus, knew God. He was devoted to God 100%. Only God mattered to him. That comes down on earth, okay? Not just only to save us from our sin, so that us, by being united to this man Jesus, we got to be united to him. That's a solution. You can't be apart from him. By faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are united to this man. That's what salvation is. If you're not united to him, not only will you not be forgiven of your sin, you won't enter heaven. Paul says you got to be united to him, one with him, in union with this man who was holy. Not only he knew God was holy, he lived a holy life, 100% devotion to him. When you are united to this man, Jesus, he starts the process of 100% devotion to God. He starts the process. You won't take tomorrow. And he takes your and my cooperation with the Spirit of God. If you don't want that holiness, you say, no, it's not going to work. It takes two to tango. And so God has given you not only union with them, but the power, the will, the Spirit of God who tugs at you, who bothers your conscience. When you sin, the Spirit says, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not holiness. That's not how I want to make you look like Jesus. And you listen. You repent and you turn. It's going to look all different, you know, from all of us, different walks of life. But all the end goal is 100% devotion to God. Please don't give excuses and say, oh, I'm not perfect. Duh. I'm weak. Duh. Yeah, we're all weak. Don't give that as an excuse. Church, because God has given you, if you're a Christian, his son to make the impossible possible. He has given you the Spirit. He's given you faith. He's given you the church and all the gifts that he has given every one of you to make you holy. That's the goal. Be holy as God is holy. Not just be forgiven of your sin. To be a holy people. To be saints, holy ones. So when God looks at you, the end product would be, oh, Tony, man, there is a holy one. Watch out. The Spirit and Jesus makes the impossible possible. Be holy as God is holy. I pray.